Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, as we begin the new Masechta, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Masechta Shavuos. We know that the Torah speaks about the concept of being able to make a shvua, being able to make an oath. As we're going to learn in our Masechta, there are really four types of shvuos. There's shvua shav, which really has two cases. One is when somebody makes a shvua which is patently false. If somebody says that this wood table is made out of gold, that's a shvua shav. Another example of shvua shav is when it's certainly true, but it's not necessary. If somebody makes a shvua that this table is made out of wood, it's also foolish and unnecessary. That's a shvua shav. A shvuas edus is when somebody approaches someone else and says to them, "Do you know testimony on my behalf?" And they swear falsely that they do not, and then they confess. That's shvuas edus. Shvuas bikadin is when somebody approaches someone else and asks them, tells them, "You're holding an item out of mine," and again they swear falsely that they are not, and then they confess. And the fourth case, which is the case that we're going to be focusing on somewhat today, is shvuas bitui. Shvuas bitui is when somebody makes a shvua that he's going to do something. Again, as the Torah says, lahara or lahetiv, that he's going to do something not good, not eat, or lahetiv, he's going to do something positive, he will eat. And then it could go that he makes a shvua that he did eat, when actually he didn't, or vice versa, he says he didn't eat when he actually did eat. Those are shvuas. The lesson of our Masechta, as we speak about shvuas, is that we see the power of a person's speech. That here we have a person speaking, and with his words, the shvuas piti that we're discussing, he could create a obligation that he perhaps wouldn't have had otherwise. So starts the Mishnah. Shvuas Shtayim Shen Arba. As I just said a moment ago, the Torah speaks about shvuas in the future. I will eat, I won't eat. Shen Arba, which can be discussed in the past, because he swears that he did eat when he didn't, or vice versa. Why is our Masechta right after Masechta Makkos? As we're going to learn, the simple reason, as the Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's shiur, is because our Mishnah is very similar to the Mishnah that we learned at the end of Masechta Makkos, where you have one mitzvah, one aveira, that has so many different ramifications. Furthermore, Masechta Shavuos speaks about something that's administered under certain cases in Bezdin, a shvua, which is connected to Makkos, which Makkos are administered, as we discussed just recently, in Bezdin. The Mefarshim ask, why doesn't our Mishnah say that we're speaking about, clearly indicate that we're speaking about shvua spitui, as I just described? That's the shvua our Mishnah is referring to. So some Rishonim suggest that shvua spitui is different than the other shvuas, where shvuas edus, a person made a shvua in response to someone else asking him to say testimony. So he made a shvua in response to him saying, "You have my pekadon." Versus a shvuas bitui is something that was created and said on your own, and therefore it's not mentioned. Therefore, it's in its own category, and the Mishnah doesn't have to say shvuas bitui. Furthermore, Tosfos asks that we have a number of Masechtos and Shas that speak about oaths or obligations that a person takes on himself, the Dorim, Nazir, and Shavuos. The Masecht and the Dorim and Masecht and Nazir begin with the words Kinui the Dorim, Kin the Dorim. That if you don't use the exact words that the Torah speaks about, it's still a valid Neder, it's a valid Naziris. So why doesn't our Masechta begin with those words? So Tosfos gives the Teretz, because the main point of what we want to learn here is the concept of Shtayim Shein Arba. The Mishnah is going to mention a number of situations of Shtayim Shein Arba, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't speak about Kinui Nedarim, because it's not Kinui Shavuos, because that's not the main point that our Mishnah is trying to discuss. Another Teretz, Tosfos says, is because we know that those Mishnahs also speak about Yodis Nedarim. Yodis Nedarim, Yodis Naziris means when somebody only makes a partial statement and it's considered a Nedar or Naziris. Shavuos, there is no din of Yodis Shavuos. So the wording of the Mishnah would not be anyway similar to those Mishnayos, and therefore our Masechta doesn't begin the same way. Another teretz is that a Shvua is considered a valid Shvua. A Shvua is considered unlike Nedarim and Naziris as soon as you say Hashem's name. So since the Shvua has this very unique aspect to it, our Mishnah doesn't use the same wording as those Mishnayos because of the unique rules that Shvuas have. Yediyas HaTuma. The Torah speaks about if somebody is Tameh, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and he's not allowed to eat Kodesh. Says again the Mishnah, Yediyas HaTuma. The Torah speaks about two situations, Shtayim. One is when somebody is Tameh, not entering the Beis HaMikdash, and one is when somebody is Tameh, not eating Kodesh. Shein Arba, which have two derivatives. One is that somebody didn't realize that he was walking into a place that was the Beis HaMikdash, or somebody didn't realize what he was eating Kodesh, that the same rule applies. Here too, the Rishonim Tosfos asks, why does our Mishnah have to say Yediyas HaTuma? The point is not that you knew you were Tameh, the point is that you didn't realize that what you're eating is Kodesh, or that the place you're going, or that you forgot that you're Tameh. So they should have said Halomus, that you forgot. So Tosfos answers, and this is going to be a halacha that we're going to spend a lot of time working with, that in order to be chayiv the carbon that we're going to discuss in a moment, there's a very unique rule. If somebody wasn't aware he was Tameh, then the carbon oil of a yard that we're going to discuss in a moment is you're not chayiv. Therefore, the main element is that you were aware that you were Tameh, and then afterwards you forgot and did whatever you did. Yetzias HaShabbos, we all recall the first Mishnah Masechet Shabbos speaks about Yetzias HaShabbos. What's the case there? The Mishnah speaks about the poor person and the wealthy and the Ani and the Asher. The Ani standing outside in the Rishus HaRabim and the Asher standing inside in his house. And the Torah speaks about the Isser HaTzah. This HaTzah is the Isser to carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. And the Mishnah discusses two types of situations. One is where the poor person is standing outside and he sticks his hand into the Rishus HaYochid and carries or brings out the item to the Rishus HaRabim. Or the other case is where the person is, the usher, standing inside his house and carrying something out, or transporting something out to the Rishus HaYochid. That's the two cases that the Torah speaks about. Shehein Arba, which add two more cases, which are Hachnosa. The Torah speaks about carrying from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, because that was what happened in the Midbar. We all recall that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people to bring for the Mishkan the items that they needed for the Mishkan from their homes, which were Rishus HaYochid, to where he was, the Machna Leviyah, which was Rishus HaRabim. Shehin Arba, two cases of Achnasa, which are the cases of carrying the other way around, not from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, but on the contrary, carrying from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. The Rambam says, why do we have to speak about a case, as we did in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, about an Ani and an Usher? What's the difference if they're wealthy and poor? So the Rambam says, as we know, the derech of the Mishnayos is always to speak in the most concise manner. And just using the example of the Ani and the Usher is able to convey these points in a more concise manner than saying this one's standing outside and this one's standing inside. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara wants to teach, the Mishnah wants to teach us another halacha. Here the person is doing a mitzvah. He's giving a poor person food. He's giving tzedakah. So we would think that he would be allowed to do it on Shabbos. Teaches us the Mishnah, as important as it is to give tzedakah, it doesn't supersede the chiyuv, doesn't supersede the isser of carrying on Shabbos. So Tosfos asks, that isn't both cases the same? What's the difference if they have the poor person putting his hand inside and carrying out, or the wealthy, or the usher taking his hand from inside and taking outside? It's the same point. You're carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Why does the Mishnah have to mention both cases, both by the Hatzah and by the Hachnasa? So Tosfos answers that the typical case, which we would, Tosfos says two Terutzim, there are really three Terutzim in the Rishonim. One Terutz that Tosfos says is that the typical case of carrying is where somebody does it the old-fashioned way. I start off in the Rishus HaYochid, and I carry out the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Here, our Mishnah, as we just described, speaks about some interesting situations. The person outside is sticking his hand in and taking it out. The person inside is taking the thing inside and depositing it in the hand of the person standing outside. Since these aren't the typical cases of carrying, that's why the Mishnah had to speak about each case individually. That's the first Teretz Tosfos gives. The second Teretz Tosfos gives, a famous concept which we discussed in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, is that Hoitzah, carrying, is considered a Malacha Geruah. Why is it considered a Malacha Geruah? Malacha Geruah means it's a weak Malacha. What does it mean it's a weak Malacha? It's a hard Malacha. So Mefarshim explained that it's a Malacha Geruah because it's hard to understand. If I have I live in a huge estate. It's all one big Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And I have a very heavy table, very heavy item. I could carry it all day Shabbos. I'm not suggesting that you do it. And maybe an issue of the chol. But certainly you haven't violated any Issa Daraisa. And then if I have the smallest pin, and I carry it from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I did a Malacha Daraisa. So since carrying on Shabbos is a Malacha Geruah, and Tosfos proves that it's a difficult Malacha to understand. Because we know that the Malachas that are also on Shabbos aren't mentioned specifically in the Torah. We use what was done in the Mishkan as the model of what is also on Shabbos. That the Torah speaks about two psukim to teach us that the Malacha of Eitzah is also on Shabbos. Because it's hard to understand this Malacha. And therefore, the Mishnah has to speak about each case individually because it's hard to understand this Malacha and we can't extrapolate logically what is and what is not included in the Malacha. A third Teretz, which is very similar to what I just said, the Ramban says this Teretz, the Tosfos HaRosh says this Teretz, is because there are two psukim that speak about the Isra on carrying on Shabbos. One is V'yikola Om Lahavi and one is Al-Yetz Ishra Mekoymai. The two psukim speak about the two cases I just mentioned, the one standing outside and one standing inside. So that's why the Mishnah has to speak about both cases corresponding to the two psukim that are mentioned. Certainly, Tosfos Masechta Shabbos also points out that there are many other instances that are included in the Isra Hoitzah. You're not allowed to throw Dalar Amos from Shusha Rabbim. You're not allowed to take something from Shusha Yochid to Shusha Yochid. Derech from Shusha Rabbim. All of them certainly are in the general category of Hoitzah, but they're not mentioned in our Mishnah because our Mishnah is focusing strictly on Hoitzah and Achnosah of the Malacha Hoitzah. Maris Nagon. We know the Torah speaks about Mara of a Nega. Somebody has a Nega who is Tomei. The Torah speaks about Sa'es and Sapachas. Again, Shnaim Shein Arba. There are two types of Negom the Torah speaks about, Sa'es and Sapachas, but there are Toldos, which are other colors that are also considered Negom. So again, we have a situation, Shnaim Shein Arba. It's interesting to note that the Torah Chaim, the Sefer Torah Chaim, makes a diik in the Mishnah. In the other cases, the Mishnah said, Yediyas Atoma, Yetzias HaShabbos. By Negoim, the Mishnah says, Maris Negoim. It doesn't say Maris HaNegoim. Why doesn't the Mishnah say Maris HaNegoim? So I saw he answers, Shabbos is Shabbos because it's Shabbos. Tum is Tum because somebody's Tomei. A Nega is not a Nega until the Kohen saw the Nega and told you that you're Tomei. Marois Negoim. It's only a Nega, Marois, when the Kohen saw it and told you that you're Tomei. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask a very important, and this is very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa. As I said in describing each of the cases that the Mishnah speaks about, there are cases that the Torah speaks about explicitly, specifically by the case of Tumah, by the case of Shavuos, and then the cases that the Chazal learn from the Psukim. Now we know that when Chazal explain a Pasuk, it has the same din as a deraisa. It's the same category. So what's the Mishnah categorizing Shtaim Shein Arba? So the Rishonim say to teach us what is a bigger Aveira versus a smaller Aveira. And something that's considered explicit in the Torah is something, if we have no choice, we have to do something, we have to avoid something which is written explicitly versus something we only learn by drasha. To give an example, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses the following shailah. We know that on Shabbos, if somebody is a chayil sheyesh beis hakana, we'll have to be mechal Shabbos. But there's a halacha also that hakala kal tchila. We should do it in a way to avoid Chil Shabbos as best as possible. So let's say we have an individual who Nebuch needs hot water. He's a Chol Shesh Miskana, and we have to boil water on him. We have two ways of boiling the water. We could turn on the fire and boil up a pot of water, or we could put in an electric percolator. What should we do? We have a heter. It's a Chol Shesh Miskana. So he says we should use the electricity. Why? Because putting on a fire on Shabbos is a pasuk in the Torah. Electricity, and again, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Electricity is awesome at the rites on Shabbos, but it's not explicit in the Torah. It's either Chazanis says it's a tolda boina. Most Paiskim say it's a tolda of havara, but it's not the havara that the Torah speaks about turning on a fire. And here, our Mishnah, the Rishonim and our Mishnah teach us that we should always, if we have to do something, we should try to avoid at what's explicit in the Torah. So the Mishnah goes back, and the Gemara will discuss why the Mishnah discusses this halacha first. As sheyesh ba yediyah b'tchila v'yediyah b'soif, if somebody was aware that he was tamei, and then he forgot, and then he remembers, hareze ba'oyle b'yoyred. There's a special type of carbon. The carbon here is called the carbon oyle v'yoyred, which means we look at the financial state of the person who's bringing the carbon, and that's the kind of carbon he has to bring. What does it mean? That if somebody is wealthy, he brings a kispa or a seira as a chatas. If he's not that wealthy, he brings two birds, echad l'chatas ve'echad l'oif. If he's very poor, he brings a carbon mincha. The Rishonim discuss 2 points. Why here is there a din of a carbon oil of a yoyrit? Why here is a din of carbon oil of a yoyrit? Usually when the Torah says you have to bring a carbon, the Torah prescribes what carbon. It doesn't start looking at your tax return. So one explanation the Rishonim give is because this was a mistake that was commonly made. They lived in a world of Tumah v'Tahara, and it was difficult always to pay proper attention. That's why the Torah was lenient. Another explanation is that the person really had no personal benefit. He was Tumah and he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. She doesn't benefit from that. And therefore, since he didn't have any personal benefit, the Torah is more lenient and they look at his financial status. Furthermore, it's interesting to point out that Evan Ezra discusses this. If somebody is wealthy, he brings one animal as a carbon chatas. If he's not that wealthy, he has to bring both a carbon chatas and a carbon oil. So we could understand, says the Evan Ezra, that instead of bringing one animal, which is much more expensive than a bird, we say, you don't have to bring an animal, bring a bird. But we find an interesting thing. Here, an animal, you only have to bring one animal as a carbon chatas. When you're bringing birds, you have to bring one as a chatas and one as an oiler. Why? You should have to bring one bird as a carbon chatas. You can't afford an animal. So says the Evan Ezra, very interesting pshat. He says that if somebody is wealthy and he brings a carbon chatas, an animal, so there are different portions. The part that's burnt on the Mizbeach, there's a part that's eaten by the Kahanim. A carbon chatas ha'oif, none of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. And the Torah didn't want that this person should bring a carbon, then none of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Torah said, bring also an oil ha'oif, where part of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. The part of his carbon is burnt on the Mizbeach to affect the kapara. Carbon mincha is the same. The kaimitz of the carbon mincha is burnt on the Mizbeach. There's a Mishnah Masecht in the Gaon. Because the halacha by Mitzoyer that becomes tar, we also look at his financial state to determine what kind of carbon he brings. So Mishnah says in Masecht in the Gaon that if somebody is wealthy and he brings the carbon of a poor person, he wasn't Yaitza. But vice versa, if he was poor and he brought the carbon of a wealthy person, it's fine. What would be the halacha in the case of Tumah? So certainly all the Rishonim agree that if a wealthy person brings the carbon of a poor person, he's not Yaitza. But most Rishonim say the same thing will be that if a poor person brings the carbon of a wealthy person, it's fine. But the Sefer HaChinuch, interestingly, says that if a poor person brings the carbon of a wealthy person by Tumah, he wasn't Yaitza. That's very difficult to understand. Why? Why? So the Chasam Sofer says an interesting explanation. The Chasam Sofer says because there the purpose of the carbon by a mitzayra and the purpose of the carbon here is different. The purpose of the carbon by a mitzayra is to be machsher. You're not tahor until you bring the carbon. Here it's not to bring you tahor. You're tahor, you're tummy without the carbon. It's to be mechaper. Kapara doesn't work the same lomdus as hechsher. It doesn't really explain why it doesn't work with the same lomdus. Perhaps it goes back to what we said before. This person meant to do a mitzvah. He wanted to go into the base of Mikdash. He wanted to eat Kaidish. We have to be very careful that he not be strict with him. And how do we get that message across? If you're Ani and you brought the carbon of Asher, don't make that mistake. It continues the Mishnah. But before we go further, on Yom Kippur, there were three kabbonis that the sawyer is a male goat, that was used. One is the musaf of Yom Kippur, was carbon musaf of Yom Kippur was a sawyer. The other is this, we remember, we all know from the avoid of Yom Kippur, there were two seirim, the sawyer la'ashem and the sawyer la'azazel. The sawyer la'ashem was offered in the base of Mikdash proper, the sawyer la'azazel was thrown down the mountain. So we have three seirim. So says the Mishnah, Yesh ba yadi b'tchila. If somebody was aware that he was tameh, and he forgot, and therefore he went into the base of Mikdash or ate Kaidish, and then he never becomes aware that he did the wrong thing. And as the Rishonim explain, just because you were a Shayig doesn't mean you didn't do an Aveira. And if you did an Aveira, you're in trouble, and you need something to protect you. Says the Mishnah, Sar Hanas Bifnim, the sar Lashem, that the avoid was done inside the base of Mikdash, V'yoyim HaKippurim, and Yom Kippur itself, but as the Rishonim point out, Yom Kippur has the ability to protect us only if we believe in the power of Yom Kippur, Toila, protect this individual, Ad Shiyavadala, until he becomes aware that he did something wrong, and when he becomes aware, V'yavi Ba'il V'yayrit, then he'll bring the carbon oil of V'yayrit. Continues the Mishnah, Ein Ba Yediyah B'tchila, and as we learned early in the Mishnah, you never bring a carbon oil of V'yayrit if you weren't aware that you were tamei. So here we have an individual that was never aware that he was tamei, and therefore he went into the base of Mikdash, or he ate Kodesh, and then he becomes aware of a Yesh Ba Yediyah B'saif. Then he becomes aware that he was tamei and he ate Kodesh. He went into the base of Mikdash. He doesn't bring a carbon oil of a yairid. Because a carbon oil of a yairid, as we said at the beginning in the Mishnah, is only brought when there was a yediyah b'tchila. Sar hanas b'chutz, which is the sar of the musaf Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim mechaper. It's not toil, it's mechaper, because you don't bring a carbon oil of a yairid. Shnemar, because the pasuk, when it speaks about the sar hanas b'fnim, and the Sar Hanas B'chutz, the Musaf, uses the words Mavad Chatas Kippurim. So the Torah, so to speak, is comparing them to teach us Amash Zeh Mechapah, Zeh Mechapah. They both speak about the same type of situation. Ma Pnimi, Ein Mechapah El Adobah Sheyesh B'Yediyah. The Par Hanas B'Fnim speaks about a situation where there was a Yediyah, the Yediyah B'Tchilo. Af Achitzen, the carbon Musaf that was brought in the Mizbeach Achitzen and a mechaper al Dovish Yesh by Yediyah, which is the case where it was Yediyah b'Soif, v'no Yediyah b'Tchila. Now we have a third situation. V'Hashem by Yediyah lo b'Tchila v'lo b'Soif. You have an individual who doesn't know he did an Aveira at all. He didn't know he was Tameh. He ate Mikdash and Kodesh, and he never becomes aware that he did something wrong. But as I said a moment ago, the Aveira is still Aveira, and he needs a Kapara. What will give him that Kapara? Says the Mishnah, Sire, according to Yehuda, Sire Haragolim, the carbon musaf on Yom Tif, the Sire Rosh Chodeshim, and the Sire of Rosh Chodesh, Mechaprim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And it's very interesting. We learned this Mishnah, it's important to point out, if you open up a Mishnah, you see it's not one long Mishnah. The Mishnah is a block long, it's not one Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it's a number of Mishnahs. But we learned this Mishnah, and we think it's a very interesting Mishnah, starting in Numasechta Baruch Hashem, but what does it have to do with us? There's no Kabbonis nowadays. So the Paiskim, all the Rishonim, the Riff already alludes to this. It's very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa. On Rosh Hashanah, we know Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Chodesh. The question that comes up is if on Rosh Hashanah do we have to bring the Musfei Rosh Chodesh? And if our Mishnah teaches us that the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh has a very distinct purpose, so we have to bring the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And if when we're davening and we're saying Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, we have to mention it. And if we don't mention it, we have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So that's why we have to know, what does the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh accomplish? That do we have to speak about the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh when we daven on Rosh Hashanah? So if Yehuda says, the Korban Musaf that was brought on Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tov Mechaper. Rav Shimon says no. Sira Regal Mechaper. Indeed, the Korban Musaf that's brought on the Yom Tov Mechaper for Ein Bo Yediyah Lo B'Tchilah V'Lo B'Soif Avloy Sira Rosh Chodeshim. Every Korban Musaf has its own purpose. According to Rav Shimon, Amas Sira Rosh Chodeshim Mechaper. What do you bring the Korban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh? Ala Tor Shachas Tamei. Speaking about a different case altogether. The loch is that kotchim that became Tamei may not be eaten. And if somebody who was Tor ate kotchim that are Tamei, that's what he has to bring the Sar Rosh Chodesh. So according, just to review, according to Reb Yehuda, the Sirim of Rosh Chodesh and the Sirim of Golem are for the same purpose. For Ein Bo Yediyah Lo B'Tchilah V'Lo B'Soif. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, Yom Tov Musaf is for Ein Bo Yediyah V'Lo B'Tchilah V'Lo B'Soif. Rosh Chodesh Musaf is for somebody who's Tahar ate Kachim Dara Tamei. Ramei has a different opinion. He says, Kas Irim Kaparasa Shava. All the different times that you bring a Korban Musaf, whether it's on Yom Kippur, whether it's on Rosh Chodesh, whether it's on Yom Tov, all of them have the same purpose. Al Thomas Magdish Vakadasha. Somebody that didn't have Yediyah Lo B'Tchilah V'Lo B'Soif, there are different types of Musaf in different occasions, but they all have the same purpose. Hayer of Shimon Aymer, says the Mishnah of Shimon used to say, Sirir Chodashim, the Sirim that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, Mechaprim Al Tar Shachlas Tamei, refer to a situation where somebody Tar ate Kachim that became Tamei. V'Shar Regolim, if somebody ate Sirir, the Musaf Ayantiv, Mechaprim, help for somebody she'en ba yedir lai b'tchil v'lai b'saif. So Yom Kippurim, this Musaf of Yom Kippur, helps for somebody she'en ba yedir b'tchila, that he wasn't aware that he became Tamei, but then he ultimately becomes aware. In other words, according to Rav Shimon, every Korban Musaf from every occasion has a very distinct purpose, different distinct purpose. Amar Loi, what will be the halacha? They asked Rav Shimon. Let's say a Korban Musaf, an animal for Korban Musaf on Yom Kippur was designated and got lost. And she brought a different animal. So normally the halacha is, if one designates an animal for a Korban, and then that animal gets lost and you brought a different Korban, the first animal, Yirash Yistavu, is left to die. Here the question, however, is, can you take that animal and use it for Yontif? Can you use it for Rosh Chodesh? So certainly, according to the opinion of Rameya, why not? Rameya says that all of these three Korbanei Musaf that I just described have the same purpose. So certainly you don't have to let that animal die. You could use it for a different purpose. The question is asked, however, to Reb Shimon, that has a very distinct purpose, different distinct purpose for every one of these musafim. So here the question is very understandable. Can we replace them or not? And as Rashi points out, the same question is according to Reb Yehuda. Because even though Reb Yehuda holds that the Sirei HaRegolim and the Sirei Rosh Chodeshim serve the same purpose, but he holds that the Sirei of Yom Kippur, the Musaf of Yom Kippur, doesn't serve the same purpose. And therefore, the question is, can they be replaced or not? Amaroi, Ma'ash Yikvu Zerbezeh, if one of these animals get lost and another animal is used, can they be used for the next time a Korban Musaf needs to be brought? Amaroi Yikvu, they can. Amar, so Rameya asks him, as you explained, each one has a different purpose. How could you suggest hech kraven zeh bezeh? How could this be acceptable that they could just be substituted one for the other? Amlam, so Reb Shimon defends his psak, and Reb Yehuda would have the same psak, even though there are different nuances, but they all offer the subject kulam bon lechapir al tumas migdash v'kedoshav. Even though with different nuances, it's enough of a common denominator that they could use to substitute one for the other. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm a mishmoy. Sirei Rosh Chodashim, the sword, the cover musaf that's brought in Rosh Chodesh, mechaper mal tor shochlas atamei. They are mechaper for somebody tor ate kachin that became tamei. Meisaf aleim shalur golem. So way to understand Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is like this: the musaf that's brought on Yontif does the same as the musaf that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. Just like the musaf in Rosh Chodesh works for tor that ate tamei, so too does the musaf that's brought on every yontif mechaprim al tor shachlas atamei. But it does one more. Not just does it be mechaper on somebody that's tor that ate kachim that atamei, it also helps for somebody shein ba yediyah loy betchil of loy besayif, that he was never aware, not before nor after, that he was a tamei that ate kodesh, or he was a tamei that went into the Beis HaMikdash. Meisaf aleim yom kishem yikupurim. Now we have the musaf of Yom Kippur that goes even more. It does the same what the musaf of Rosh Chodesh does. It does the same that the musaf of Yom Tov does. Shemechatmim atar shalach satamei. It helps for somebody who's Torah ate something that's tamei. It helps for somebody shem ba yediv alayv tchil of alayv besayif. And it also helps on somebody shem ba yediv betchila that he wasn't aware before he entered the Beis HaMikdash, or before he ate the Kodesh that he was Tameh, but he became aware afterwards. So in other words, the way to understand Reb Shimon Yehuda's opinion is that one builds on top of the other. The Sarish Kodesh works for one case, the Sarah Golem works for that case plus, and the case of the Musaf Yom Kippur, the Musaf Rosh Chodesh works for one purpose, the Musaf of the Yom Tovim works for that purpose plus, and the Musaf of Yom Kippur works for those two purposes plus. And now, the same question was asked to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. Amar mash yikruv zeh bezeh. Again, if the animal got lost, can they replace one for the other? Amar lam hein. He said yes. Amar loy, so they ask him, im kain, if so, you, according to your psak, will have a situation of Yerusha Yom Kippurim craving Rosh Chodeshim. That if the animal that was designated for the Musaf Yom Kippur was lost, that animal will be used, if it's found and it was replaced, and now it's found, it will be used to bring the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Im kain, Yerusha Yom Kippurim craving Rosh Chodeshim. The animal that was originally designated for the Musaf of Yom Kippur will be ultimately used for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But how could that be? Aval heich, shereich shadosh and kraven b'yom kippurim, l'chapa kapara shen shaloi. How can we allow an animal in the vice versa situation that was only designated to be used for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and then got lost and was found before Yom Kippur will be used for the Musaf of Yom Kippur? Aval heich, shereich shadosh and kraven b'yom kippurim, l'chapa kapara shen shaloi. Let's just understand what the Mishnah is saying. To take the carbon, to take the animal that was designated for Yom Kippur Musaf and use it for Rosh Chodesh Musaf is very understandable. Because if anything, it's only more powerful. So it's included. But the other case, where the animal was designated for Musaf or Rosh Chodesh, and the same question will be if it was designated for the Musaf of Yontif, which doesn't cover as much as the Musaf of Yom Kippur, how could that animal now be used for Yom Kippur when it wasn't originally designated to affect such a wide-ranging kapara? Amalem, and he gives the same answer as we learned earlier in Mishnah. Kulam bon l'chapa tos medish v'kadashah. They all come to be mechaper on cases, on different variations of tumas medish v'kadashah, even though they're different situations, but it's one general category. And therefore they can be used as a substitute. Vazodin Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshim, Now we have another situation. Let's say somebody b'mezid was tamei and went into the Beis HaMikdash. Or he was b'mezid ate kodesh when he was tamei. What will bring him the kapara? So as the Rishonim explain, if he was given hasra, if he was given hasra, then the halacha is that he's chayiv karis. But let's say he wasn't given hasra, he's not chayiv karis. Or as the Rishonim learned, continuation of what we discussed at the end of Masechta Makkos. At the end of Masechta Makkos, we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody did an aveira for which he's chayiv karis, if he gets malchus, he's no longer chayiv karis. And that's what our Mishnah wants to speak about. How can we have a situation where somebody's chayiv karis, but he could get off the hook? Says the Mishnah, the sor hanas b'fnim, yom kippur mechaprim. The sor that was brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, the sor l'Hashem, and the power of Yom Kippur, in one who believes in Yom Kippur, have the power of being mechaper. Now says the Mishnah, this din Rashi says everybody agrees to this last din that I just said. It's not subject to any machlokes. Continues the Mishnah. Al shar averus shebetorah. Different averus. Till now, our Mishnah has only focused on the averus of Tumas Mikdash v'Kedoshav. What about different averus? Hakalas v'chamurus. And the Gemara Mitzvah will explain what is considered averus kala and what's considered an averus chamura. Hasdoinus v'shkogus, mezid and shogig. Hoida v'loi hoida. Essay v'loi sesay, mitzvah sesay, mitzvah sesay, mitzvah sesay, and all of this will be defined be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach in the Gemara. Krisis u'misis bezdin, sar ha'mishtaleich mechaper. As I said earlier, there was a third sar. That was the sar la'azazel. The sar la'azazel is mechaper for all of these haveris, and it's mechaper whether you're Yisra'echad Yisra'elim v'echad kahanim v'echad kai mishuach. It makes no difference who you are. However, says the Mishnah, where do we find a distinction between Yisraelim and Kohanim? Ma bein Yisraelim l'Kohanim ul'Kohanim Meshuach el Shapar mechaper al Tumas Megdash v'Kedoshav. New din. Till now, in our Mishnah, we've learned quite extensively that the Tumas Megdash v'Kedoshav, the Seirim, whether it's the Musaf, whether it's the Sor HaNas v'Fnim, are mechaper for different situations of Tumas Mitzvah V'Kedoshav when you're not bringing your carbon oil of a yari that we discussed at the beginning of the Mishnah. What about a Kohen if he makes a mistake with Tumas Mitzvah V'Kedoshav? What's mechaper for him? Says the Mishnah, there was a par that the Kohen Gadol brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't have the kapar with the Tumas Mitzvah V'Kedoshav. With the sar, he needs the par to mechaper. Shapar mechaper al Kohanim Thomas Migdash Gedoshev. Says the Mishnah Chachma, why? Why can't he rely on the Sar Nas Bifnim? Says the Mishnah Chachma, beautiful word. He says, it's the Kohen's job to protect the Kedusha of the Mesa Migdash and Kaidish. So if he makes a mistake, it's much more of an issue than if Yisrael makes a mistake. And therefore the carbon that worked for the Yisrael can't work for the Kohen. But now the Chassam Sofer asks a Gevaldige Kasha. A Lomdish Kasha. He asks like this. We learned quite extensively on this Amid, that if something happened to the Sora on Yom Kippur, that it got lost, and you brought another animal, you could bring that animal on Rosh Chodesh, you could use that animal on Musaf Rosh Chodesh, you could use that animal on Musaf Yom Kippur. Let's think about it. The Sawyer of Yom Kippur is only for Yisraelim. The Kohanim rely on the power. The Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the Musaf of Yontif, is not only for Yisraelim, it's also for Kohanim. So how can we rely and use an animal that was only designated for Yisraelim, the carbon in Yom Kippur is only for Yisraelim, to work on Yom Shchodesh and Yontif? Would a Kohanim need that animal? Chassam Sofer's kasha. So Chassam Sofer finds this question very difficult to answer. He tries to answer that that's what the Mishnah means, that indeed, he says, a very bechiddush, that although we learned that the sor of Rosh Chodesh and the sor of Yom Tovim are mechaper for Yisraelim, they won't be mechaper for Kohanim. The Kohanim only have one chance a year, only Yom Kippur. And he's therefore saying a mayor de gechiddush. The musaf on Rosh Chodesh and the musaf on Yom Tovim aren't for Kahanim. That's the Chasam Sofer's Teretz. The Stipler says a beautiful Teretz. He says there are two elements to the Seirim, the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and the Musaf that's brought Bifnim, the Ksorah Nas Bifnim. One is that it's Mechap for Tumas Midrash for Kedoshav. It's not only that. It's also considered a part of the Avodas Hayoyim. He says a beautiful word. What would be if we know for sure that there's now one Jew in the world that had a problem of Tumas Midrash for Kedoshav? Would we still have to bring the Sorah Lashem? Would we still have to bring the Musaf Yom Kippur? He says, of course. It's part of the Avodas Hayoyim. Why? Because besides that it's Mechapra for the Tumas Midrash for Kedoshav, it's part of the Avodas Hayoyim, which affects Kohanim too. So they do have a connection to these Kabbonis, and therefore they can be used for Kohanim on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov. Rav Shimon Omer, continues the Mishnah, Shem Shadam Hasor Kanas Befnim Mechapa al Yisrael Kach Dam Apar Mechapa Kohanim. And Kishem Shividu Shasar Mishtaleach Mechapa al Yisrael Kach Viduyev Shal Par Mechapel Kahanim. And Rav Shimon is teaching us an interesting din. He's saying that Kahanim need a different kapara. The vidui, we know a very important element to tshuva is vidui. The vidui for Yisraelim, the vidui for Kahanim is not the same vidui. Why? So the Meshech Chachma gives two reasons. One, he says, is when a Kohen does an Aveira, it's a much bigger Chilul Hashem than when Yisrael does an Aveira. And we know the biggest problem with an Aveira is the Chilul Hashem. So Kohen can't rely on the vidui of Yisrael. He has to have his own tshuva. Then he says another part. He says, Yisraelim have to go to work. So somebody has to go to work. He unfortunately may do an Aveira. Kahanim, we have to support the Kahanim. And therefore, since we have to support the Kahanim, they're free to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and not do Aveiras. And therefore, there's much more of a claim if a Kohen does an Aveira versus where Yisrael does an Aveira, and the vidui of Yisrael is not good enough for the vidui for Kahanim. He needs his own vidui. The Bali Musar, as we finish learning this Mishnah, teaches us, from here we see the lesson of our Mishnah, is that every act has its own repercussions. You know, people are easy to group different actions into broad categories. And our Mishnah says that even in one Aveira of Tumas Midrash V'Kedoshav, the Mishnah identified so many different variations. Yesh b'yitchil b'tchila v'ayin doi b'tsoif, yesh b'yidi b'tsoif, ayin b'yidi b'tchila, b'tchila, ayin b'yidi aloi b'tchila v'loi b'tsoif, to show us that every action is to be viewed individually, and we have to take responsibility in a serious way for our actions.